Blog Talk Radio.
This is the UR Tennis Network. We are the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate tennis enthusiasts who promote our sport relentlessly. We strive continuously to bring news and information for players, parents, coaches, officials, businesses, and anyone else who loves tennis. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis may not be interested in them.
Good afternoon or good morning, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Tennis Authority. I am Natalie Shalene Fox, your host. Wrapping up some technical difficulties I had this morning, I was a little nervous about getting the show off the ground, but I think we're going to be just fine. Thanks to my partner over here, Carlos Gallegos. Thank you so much for your help. He saved me. I don't know what it is with my iPad, but it was not cooperating. So fortunately, he had his on hand, and I am borrowing that at the moment. So I want to welcome everyone. If this is your first-time listener, I can see we do have some new listeners. Welcome to our show. You're going to love it. You're going to love hearing from our guest today, Coach John Dennys, and he's out of Florida. We're going to speak with him a little bit later, and you picked a great day to listen to our show. And for all of our repeat listeners, thank you for coming back. I enjoy seeing and hearing from each and every one of you each week. And to our new listeners or those that haven't written in, I love hearing from you guys. So write in to us. Let us know who you are, what you want to hear on the show, what you have liked and haven't liked. Here we go. Now I got my iPad working right. And you can contact us at info@thetennisauthority.com. Again, info@thetennisauthority.com. You can also find our up-and-coming shows at www.thetennisauthority.com. Again, www.thetennisauthority.com. I have updated our site this week, so it looks all together different. So go out, check it out. Let me know what you think of it. And what else do we have going on? If you are new to the network, we are the UR Tennis Network. And we are out there to promote those who feel like they're underrepresented. And and that can be many people out there. And here at the Tennis Authority, we typically focus on tennis industry and bring you a new product or service each week. Today's show is a little different. We're going to speak with someone from more of the coaching side of things, but his past and his history in the sport is so fantastic that I definitely wanted him to come on our show and share his story, excuse me. So we will bring him on shortly. Some news out there, some of you have probably heard of this by now, but it came out this morning that Nadal has pulled out of the Aussie Open. He's been struggling with a stomach virus and feels like he hasn't had enough time to prep for the upcoming event, so he has pulled out. But on a happier note for him, his app launched this week, and I was just reading some reviews on it, and some positive, some not so positive, but for the most part, very positive. And it is a game, but from what I understand, you can get tips and stuff as well, not just play as play. So that's a great thing. It's always good to hear new things coming out for our sports and things that will promote it and keep the game growing. And if it's with an app, then that's great too. Maria Sharapova, she withdrew from an upcoming exhibition match in Seoul due to a collarbone injury, but her sources do assure us she is going to be fine. So we'll see if she is in fact out there in the next few weeks playing or not. James Blake had a baby this week, and I think that's about all we have for this week's news in tennis. We have the new year coming up, and I hope you all had a fantastic Christmas last weekend. I traveled down to Houston, and the weather was pretty warm, and I came back up to the Dallas area where we're airing from today. And I left Houston in a short-sleeve shirt, and as soon as I drove up in Dallas, the snow started falling, and it snowed for hours, and I have never quite been around that in Texas ever. And it was definitely something to see, something pretty and something I hope I don't experience again for a while. I got my fill of snow, but I will be heading up to New York for the New Year's weekend later today, so with the snow all day tomorrow too. So I should get more of it, but I don't know how the people up north view it. I couldn't make it. So, again, we were talking about the UR Tennis Network a little earlier, and there's something out there for everyone. There's a different show every single day of the week. They all focus on different topics. Again, ours focuses typically on tennis industry, but definitely something out there for everyone. I will list the names of the shows in a moment and the times they air, but if you ever miss them, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. Search for the UR Tennis Network, and that is spelled with the letter U, the letter R, 10F, network, need that word, network, and that'll list all of our past shows, and you can also sign up to get reminders when the shows will come on, and you can also hear our shows, they're podcasted on iTunes, so if you've got an Apple device, you can just download the podcast app, and automatically the shows will upload there each day, and you're all set to go. You're good to go. So it's a great thing to listen to, whether you're traveling. You know, we're proud that you can actually take us to work with you and listen to our shows from work, and it's not like the Tennis Channel. You know, you can't haul around your TV everywhere you go, but you can take the UR Tennis Network and always hear something great. On Sundays, we have We Coach Tennis with J.P. Weber at 5. Mondays, we have Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone at 11. Tuesdays, Diversity in College Tennis with Jason Haynes, who's also our producer, who shows at 2. And American Tennis with Chuck Creasy on Wednesdays at 11. The Bruce Lipka Show is on Thursdays at 11:30. And you found us here Fridays at 1. Saturday, we have two great shows that alternate each week. We have Minorities in Tennis with Alex Chan and Women Ruling the Court with Alyssa Cohen. Again, all great shows, each catered to their own audience, and speaks on different topics each week, but you will not be disappointed in any of them. We have lots of different personalities out there and our shows, and each of our hosts have different personalities, and they're all very fun to listen to and bring something different to the game. I am going to go to a quick commercial break, and we will be back and talk to our guests.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
All right, and welcome back to the Tennis Authority. I am Natalie Shalene Fox, your host. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking to a very experienced tennis coach today. His name is John Dennis. He's out of Florida. And I'm not going to say much about him because he has got a great story to tell, and I can't wait to hear him and hear the story. And it'll come best from his own mouth. So welcome back, and let's bring our guest on the air. Hello, John.
Hi, Natalie.
How are you?
Great to hear that about experience rather than saying how I have an old coach with me today. I love that.
Okay, great. So how was your Christmas weekend?
It was very nice. We have, actually, it's kind of extended. I'm blessed to have one of our children with us and our grandchildren. So my wife is spoiling them, which is always.
Did we lose you, John?
No, I didn't know if I should keep on talking or not.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We're not going to stop you. So well, good. So your son, he was coming in town yesterday. Is that right?
Yes. They came in and we spent the night, and we'll be going out again this evening. So it'll be a nice beginning of a new year for us. They're going to stay through the new year. So we're blessed.
Well, very good. And I appreciate you so much for taking time away from them to spend with us.
It's my pleasure.
And are they listening nearby?
Yes, they are. They are. My grandson, you know, just nice to know that his old granddad is doing something else.
Fantastic. So, John, you have a very extensive history in tennis. When did you start playing tennis? How old were you?
Well, I actually started late. I actually come from a basketball. I've been coaching for 50 years, and I first started coaching in basketball up north in Connecticut. And I got involved with tennis, thinking it was great training for basketball. Mm-hmm. And then my son, who I thought was going to be a great basketball player, got more involved in tennis and later became a tennis pro. And I had the privilege of working together. The John Denise School of Tennis was actually named for my son, John, not for me like most people think. And I came along for the ride with him.
Very good. And so how long have you been involved with tennis?
Well, I've been involved with tennis for over almost 30 years now. I became really actively involved about 25 years ago when joining the United States Tennis Association and USTA Florida. I was privileged to spend 8 years on the board of directors for the USTA Florida section. And I was the second president of the Professional Tennis Registry Florida section. And that's how I got involved in high school tennis, actually. As president, I was, I believed that high school tennis was something that was being ignored. And quite frankly, it bothered me when I heard tennis pros saying, don't let your child play high school tennis because some science teacher or math teacher is going to ruin them. And that was my platform when I was president, was to, you know, get your kids involved in high school tennis. And the community where I lived in and still live in, the athletic director at Sebastian River High School said to me, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? And I thought my ego was, I was doing a pretty good job of boosting high school tennis. And he said, why don't you coach our team? So I think this will be my 17th year now that I'll be the full-time coach for the boys and girls tennis team.
Wow. And so, just so I follow you right, prior to getting into tennis, you were a basketball coach?
Yes, I was. That was my first love. It actually started some 50 years ago when I was still in the Marine Corps and, you know, coaching so that I wouldn't have to go back to port and starboard duty. And I started reading books on basketball and got involved with coaching Little League. And I've been doing it ever since. I've been blessed to have a family that's allowed me to get out of the corporate world years ago and stay involved in tennis. So it's I've been very blessed that way. And then in being involved in high school tennis as tennis chairman for the Florida Athletic Coaches Association, I started doing the training for the winter workshop for tennis, which we'll be doing again this January 10th, 11th, and 12th in Daytona Beach for the high school coaches. And doing that, we decided to start their own organization, the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, and today I'm the executive director of that. With a salary of $1 a year.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Well, you know, something we often focus on our show is how companies and organizations give back to the sport. And in this case, you're definitely giving back to the sport by giving your time for $1 a year. My goodness. What was your motivation to start that organization?
Well, I think we realized that, unfortunately, I don't think the USTA's emphasis on high school tennis, and I think they're missing an opportunity there. In my 8 years on the board of directors for the Florida section, well, we all like to brag about our accomplishments, and I was blessed with a few of them, getting new facilities and everything, but one of my failures was I never convinced them that even though they do a great job bringing juniors into tennis and startup tennis, and they do a great job on the high performance level, which I've been privileged to be able to go through the high performance coaching program years and years ago with them, there's a big gorge in between, and we need to build a bridge from recreation to competition tennis. And I think that they are not really putting enough emphasis into the high school tennis. And, of course, I have my own bias that way, but I'm not the only one. In September, the New York Times had a great article asking if the Florida or if the United States Tennis Association was missing the boat, and ask Patrick McEnroe what's happened to American tennis, and, you know, he says we're working on it. I think there has to be more of an answer than that.
I agree with that very much. What do you think would help build that bridge that you spoke of?
Well, I think I'm a believer in partnerships. I think that in order to be successful, you have to form them. I know I tease about that, and I'm the tennis director for the District 15 National Junior Tennis League that my wife runs, and I kid everybody that I'm there 6 weeks in the fall and 6 weeks in the spring because I can't afford a divorce. But I really love it. And what I love besides working with the little 10 and under kids is that we get the high school kids involved. And as a coach, it's rewarding when you hear the high school kids telling the kids 10 and under to do this and do that. And you realize that the instructions you're giving them, where you wonder, did they really retrieve that or not? They really did. So, you know, and I think it's because of that, it's a partnership that's continued to grow for the last 15 years. She's been running that organization, and quite frankly, in a community that doesn't have a lot of country clubs, we're able to still produce a tennis team because a lot of these kids have been introduced to tennis long before the USTA had a 10 and under program. We were using the ITF program years before that and using the softer balls. So I think, you know, forming partnerships is what's needed. This past year, the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association put on their first annual All-Star tennis tournament last May, and we'll have our second one this coming April. And football has an All-Star, and soccer does, and basketball does. And we were never able to convince the USTA that we need one and, you know, can help. But fortunately, the Almighty introduced us to the Youth Tennis Foundation of Florida, and forming a partnership with them, we were able to sit there and put on the first all-star tennis tournament for the state of Florida, and being it was such a success, we'll be continuing with that. But again, great, it's something we weren't able to do ourselves, but forming a partnership with another worthwhile organization, we're able to do that. And I just don't know if the USTA, why they don't look at high schools to form better partnerships with them.
I don't either. We often wonder that too, and when we're discussing with our guests. Do you have any speculation?
Well, I think the whole mindset has to change, and I think it will. I know nice of you calling me experienced, but being old, I can look back at when I started coaching. I was a much different coach than I am today, and I think, fortunately, I'm a better coach today because I was able to recognize things. And I think the USTA will recognize that there's a great opportunity. I mean, if you look at basketball, we're still the leaders in the world. Football, we are because, you know, football's American sport. Basketball is too. But why? All these great players go through high school. In tennis, we actually do. The best tennis players are not playing high school tennis. They're because of some of the actions that the USTA does, running tournaments the same time we're running championships, for instance, it makes it tough for them to compete. And being tennis is a pay-to-play sport, I just don't know if we're getting all the best athletes. I mean, we have a lot of great athletes, don't get me wrong. And I think that the high-performance coaching job they're doing a great job. But I think they're limited to the amount of people that are getting in there because there's just so much of the population that can't afford that. And thank God for organizations like, you know, District 15 NJTL and the Youth Tennis Foundation. And even in our county, we're blessed. We have an Indian River Tennis Foundation that for the last 2 years, they give every high school in the county the tennis program a check for $1,000. And because they realize that tennis isn't a revenue-producing sport for the high school, the budgets are less. And, you know, they're looking to do something. And they give scholarships to kids that might not go on to be great tennis players, but they know they're going to be great citizens of the community, and, you know, they recognize that. And even if I'm wrong and we don't get a bigger pool of players to go that our high-performance coaching could sit there and work with, I think we're going to get much better, more people ready for college and ready to face the challenges of life. I mean, life, like tennis, is a competition, and you have to compete.
Wow, that's just amazing, and the work that you're doing there is just amazing, and we need some of that spread around our whole country. And thank you for doing what you're doing in Florida, and I hope that can spread. It sounds like some of these organizations need to go international and not just statewide. Well, and to your wife also, it sounds like you both work very hard together to grow the game. Go ahead, please, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think we are now on the verge of that. You look at, I think, people like Wilson Sports now, what they're doing, supporting our Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, and supporting their big sponsor, the Texas High School tennis coaches, tennis program, which does a great job in Texas. You know, they recognize that, you know, these kids ain't going to stop playing tennis at high school, and there's a market for them after. Tennis Express, another, ironically, Texas organization, is becoming a sponsor and offering special pricing and programs for the high school. And that's one of the things that we look for the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association. I think as a coach, there's a difference between a tennis pro and a coach. And, you know, as a past president of the Professional Tennis Registry of Florida, I love the organization. I love what they do. But having a bucket of balls and a racket is not all that's needed to teach the game of tennis. And we know so much more about physiology, about the kinetic chain of energy, about physics that is shared, and our high school kids know about that. Well, there's that equipment that's needed to do that is expensive. And when tennis is a non-revenue producing sport in the high schools, how do you get that? And what we've done is, for instance, our school, we use the sports split step. And the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, which David Norse, they've come up with special pricing for the high school for that. I don't know, can the USTA, come up and work with some of these bigger companies which has expensive equipment and bring the price of that down now by offering it to more people instead of those few big academies? It's just one of the questions that I think I would love to be able to sit down and discuss with them. But the truth of the matter is it's hard to have a discussion with them. They don't answer your phone calls. And I think primarily because they just don't see high school tennis on their agenda right now.
And isn't that such a shame? I mean, that's sad. It's sad. Our players are definitely suffering from that.
I think so. I think we, if we're going to compete in the world, you have to get out there. The great thing about tennis, or the great thing about any sport, really, is the competition, going out there and competing and learning from the competition, learning that you're going to have good days and bad days, learning to sit there and accept the challenges. Sometimes when you lose in a match, there's more lessons there than there is by winning the match. If you sit there and look at it objectively, you know, why did I lose? Did I recognize my opponent's weaknesses? Was I in the best condition? Do I have the proper speed? And now for those people that are willing to sit there and make an effort to correct these things, you know, those people are winners. They've learned. And when they go on to college, even if they don't play tennis, they're going to learn that, you know, this subject, I'm having a hard time, you know, understanding it right now. I've got to spend more time to find out what I need. And then all of a sudden, they're better students. And when they get out, they're still competing.
That's right. That's right. So many lessons that we learn on the court are applicable in real life. I think even more so than many other sports. And I do believe that it makes us better citizens. There's statistics showing that tennis players do become better citizens and higher GPAs. And what more could people ask for?
Right. I think the sports helps produce better citizens. You look at what the NCAA, some of their ads I really love lately, and the all Americans as students, the grade point averages in the athlete, in many cases are higher than the average student body because they develop the work ethic, and this is, they're able to go on. And I think this is, we have to, unfortunately, we glorify the winning and the losing and the scores, and quite frankly, we give too much credit to the coaches that this coach is good and that coach is bad, and it's not necessarily the coaches don't deserve the credit when you're winning, and they probably aren't as much responsible for it when you're losing. They're just, if they're doing their job and if they've convinced everybody to become a team and to share the love of the team, then, you know, they're probably doing a good job. But unfortunately for the media today, that's not always what they're looking for.
You're right. You're exactly right. I failed to give out our phone number earlier in the show, but I want to give it out in case anyone has any questions for you. It's 714-583-2000. 714-583-6853. Again, 714-583-6853. We're speaking with Coach John Danius, and he's out of Florida. I want to ask, you spoke earlier of the ITF programs that you were using. Were you using those prior to the 10 and under programs came along?
We were using the short core. Before the USTA adopted the 10 and under program, the ITF basically had the same program. Why they changed the name, I think it was 1-2 play and stay tennis, I think it was called 8 or 10 years ago. And they had the different balls, and they had the smaller rackets, and quite frankly, it just made so much more sense. When you look at the amount of injuries we have in tennis compared to other sports, it seems like when somebody reaches 30 years old, they're a has-been. You know, God forbid they get in their mid-70s like me, you know, but they're... You know, why the injuries? And I think part of it, you know, we adopted the certain things. Kids were starting too young, and they were putting strain on their growth plates. The growth plates aren't developed yet, and we're giving them a hard ball. We're giving them a big racket, and we're teaching them how to hit topspin. And I recognized years ago, doctors recognized at workshops that I went to, and I listened to them, and they predicted the injuries then. They said, this is going to be a problem. Well, if it's going to be a problem for adults, you know it was going to be a problem for the kids. So why put them through that experience? And, you know, quite frankly, you know, I kid when I going for my wife's programs on Saturday mornings that if I catch you, your child in 10 and under with a large racket and a regular tennis ball, I'm going to turn you into the police for child abuse. Because they're not ready for it. The average child is not ready. And the USTA, and this is what I mean, I think the USTA has done an outstanding job of adopting those policies. They came late to it, and I think maybe that's our fault as society. We want to see something proven. Well, it was proven in Europe and Asia. The ITF proved it. It became successful, and then the USTA says, okay, well, we'll adopt it, and we'll change the name to it. And, you know, it should have been adopted earlier, but at least we've recognized and that there. And that's what gives me encouragement that soon they'll recognize that they have to be more involved in high school tennis.
So what about the other side of that? That there's lots of conflicting opinions on the 10 and under program, and some are saying it's actually going to delay their growth because they haven't learned to hit with the correct equipment.
Well, that is the correct equipment for their age, in my opinion. And I think, and you can teach all the strokes, you know, with that equipment. Usually, the problem is the high performance coaching about 4 or 5 years ago put out a video that I thought was great. I haven't seen it recently, and they showed two kids in dark colored clothes hitting a regular tennis ball, and you can see why they're hitting with top spinning, you could see him backing off the court. And then you see the same two, well, you didn't know it, but you're seeing two kids with white clothes, uniforms on, and they're stroking the ball, and you look at them, and biomechanically, their strokes are correct. They're doing the proper things. And you were asked which one, you know, was doing it right, which one was better. Well, it turned out they were the same kids. The difference was that one of them, that regular tennis ball that the adult uses, is just going so much deeper in the court and putting so much pressure on those kids that the kids are smart enough that they're adapted to it. But they're not developing their stroke the way it should be.
Okay, very, very good feedback, very interesting. Coach, it looks like we have a caller. I'm going to see if they have a question. They may just be dialing in to listen to the show, but let's see. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. My name is Vic. And I was just wondering, good to hear you, John. I was just wondering, what are some of the most difficult skills that you have to teach your younger players?
Good question. Again, to pat the USTA on the back with the 10 and under program, it's easy. I think the biggest thing that you have in tennis is footwork. When you look at the great tennis players and you see what separates them, it's the footwork. Is the split step at the proper time, or is it too early, or is it too late? Are they, when they hit the ball, are they recovering to a spot that is most likely the high percentage tennis where it's going to go to? Warlaw wrote a great book on directional tennis, but in my opinion, he never finished the book and talked about where the recovery to. Now, I talked before about using the split step at the high school level with the team. And it's been, this is just our second season going into it. I think it's a great tool, and I think that we're really picking up on that, and I can see much better athleticism, much better movement. But truthfully, in the 10 and under group that I work with my wife, those kids will pick it up faster. And why? Because they haven't developed the bad habits. We're not correcting movement that was wrong before. And one of the, and I think, quite frankly, again, talking about, you know, sharing and being part of teams and what teams are really about, I think what's helped my high school team, when they went and volunteered in the 10 and under, and they started demonstrating this, and I would always pull a few of them off because we have a couple of those units when we put one on one court and one on the other court, and having them watch these kids, and they're looking and going, boy, they're doing that better than we are. Well, part of it is because at that young age, they haven't developed those bad habits yet. So it truthfully is easier. It's easier, the progression to go through excellence is easier there. So, and again, you know, we're, like District 15, we're in cooperation with a program with Parisi Speed School. And why is that? Because they work with seven-year-olds and other. Yeah, they're known for working with the National Football League and all those great stars. But they recognize that working with seven-year-olds and doing the right things with them and sitting there making sure that they're not breaking the kinetic energy in their movements and they're able to get the most out of their movements and they're not taking extra steps, you know, it's what, and I think that's where we're going. And this is what I meant before when I said that coaching, I think, is change. I don't think you can go out there with a bucket of balls and a racket and say, I was famous playing for this school or that school, and call yourself a tennis pro. You can because the organizations don't do too much, but you, for sure you can't call yourself a coach.
Great question, Vic. Thank you for calling in. Where are you calling from?
California.
Awesome. Well, thank you for listening to the show. Did you have anything else for Coach Denise?
Don't think so. Been great
okay,
show,
well,
though. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Again, for our listeners, if you want to call in, if you have a question for Coach Denise, you can call in by dialing 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. Coach, we're going to head to another commercial. Stick by, okay?
Okay.
This is Jason Haynes, the UR Tennis Network's Chief Executive Officer. Over the last 14 months, we have undergone a lot of changes here at the UR Tennis Network, and the Nike Tennis Camps have been one of our strongest supporters. They have had a very successful 2012 summer camp season and now are planning for 2013. We would like to thank them for allowing us to be an advertising avenue for their tennis camps. As we leave the summer, we want to encourage you to check out www.ussportcamps.com and start planning your next Nike Camp experience. They have locations all over the U.S. for both adults and juniors. The Nike Camps are offered in other sports such as golf, volleyball, soccer, swimming, softball, running, water polo, lacrosse, and field hockey. We want to encourage you to consider the Nike Camp experience for your tennis needs. These camps are run by successful tennis coaches and offer a fun camp involvement where you learn new skills and make new friends. Be sure to check them out at www.ussportcamps.com or call them at 1-800-NIKE-CAMP and take your game to the next level.
All right, and welcome back to the Tennis Authority. I am Natalie Shalene Fox, your host. We're speaking with Coach John Danuth out of Florida. Coach, I want you spoke of your All-Star tennis tournaments that you hosted one, is that correct?
Yes, last year was the first year for it. It took me 5 years to get it off the ground, but if you keep praying, it'll come about. And the Youth Tennis Foundation just got through with their first college tournament for the state of Florida and recognized what we were doing. I write a tennis article for Florida Tennis Magazine, and they saw it and contacted me, and we were able to form a joint effort to produce the All-Star tournament for seniors. So we just think it's a great way to send them through when they're through with high school tennis to send them off to college.
Awesome. So tell me, what is different about that tournament from maybe a USTA sanctioned tournament?
Well, I think what's different about it, for one thing, is I'm passionately in love with Billie Jean King. I think what she's done with tennis, and I love her format. So in Florida, we have 8 regions in the state, and we break it up into 8 teams, and each region has a team. And we play singles, well, men's single, girls' single, boys' singles, boys' doubles, girls' doubles, and then we play mixed double. And we accumulate the points. So the region that has the best player in the state might not, win the thing because it's a team trophy. And again, I think what makes tennis so good is it's a lot more fun playing tennis on the team than playing individually. And I have experiences that we don't have time to talk about that I think reinforces those arguments. But that's what it's about. It's a fun tournament. It's still competition. We were blessed to have some college coaches come and recruit them. A lot of the kids already had scholarships, but some of them were offered scholarships right there, which is always rewarding when the college coaches see the talent. But after, spending the night there and having dinner and meals and getting to know other players from the state and getting, like this year, Wilson has a goodie bag, for them, and Tennis Express has shirts and everything. It's just, it's rewarding, and we were blessed to be able to team up with the Youth Tennis Foundation of Florida and do this jointly, because one organization by itself, couldn't. And this is something I approached the USTA about years ago. I shouldn't say the USTA Florida section I approached to. But, it just went on deaf ears. And this is, these are the little things that I think we could sit there and wonder about. The ranking system. Can we include high school tennis competition as part of the ranking system? Maybe that would help to get more players into the pipeline for the high performance. I don't know. But until you discuss these things and measure them, how do we know?
Right. Wow. And I just again have to say thank you for stepping up and actually doing something about it. And that, when the USTA didn't listen, I'll go out and do it myself. And you did it successfully. So thank you, because there's not a lot of people that would do that. I think some of us would just give up. Oh, well, if the USTA won't listen, or the USTA won't, even try it, then how can I even have a successful event or program? And you've done it. So what an inspiration to people across the country who want to grow the game. So thank you again for that.
Well, I thank you for that. But I thank the many people that help. And I think eventually they're going to see and understand. I mean, we have highschoolcoaches.com. Larry's going to be speaking at a workshop in 2 weeks. you know, giving everybody that attends there the free program. You know, maybe, Ken, is that something, for instance, that the USTA can do? I mean, are we the only ones that should have that program, or is that a program that's good for every high school coach in Florida? And we would love to be able to give it to every high school coach, but we can't afford it, and for sure Larry can't afford it.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is, but unless we discuss it, we're not going to find it.
That's right. That's exactly right. I want to spend a little time. We've got a few minutes left, and I want to find out. I don't have a good grasp of where you are in Florida and the District 15 area. So where are you in Florida?
I'm in Sebastian, Florida. Sebastian is an old fishing village. We're right on the Atlantic Ocean. We're halfway between Orlando and West Palm Beach. That is the address for the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, only because I was its first president and now is executive director. The organization, it goes throughout the state, though, and like I say, we have the states broken up into eight regions. We broke it up using the same eight regions that the USTA Florida section used. I mean, thinking we were going to be able to work together and cooperate together, and we're going to get there. We're going to get there. I'm not going to give up. I think that's one of the advantages of competition, and even when you get old like me, you don't forget what competition's about when you're going to keep competing for it. We'll convince them.
So now, from the way you talk, Sebastian, you said earlier there's not a lot of country clubs around. Is that correct?
That's correct. We were an old fishing village. There's actually none around. The teams we compete with, like in Vero Beach, loaded with clubs. In some years we had our good years against them. Recently they've been beating up on us, but they, again, that's what we talk about, that pool of talent. They have that pool of talent coming from the country clubs. My question is that the pool of talent that's coming from the to the high performance coaching of the USTA, is that pipeline just too narrow? Are they seeing the best athletes?
Right.
I don't know.
So, Sebastian, then, do you do your teaching on public courts, I'm assuming?
No, we've been blessed to be able. We have eight tennis courts on the high school. The District 15 NJTL runs on the city courts, public courts. But we don't have, we really don't have any clubs to do that with. But we have eight courts with the high school. Being we've had the program so long, most of our kids buy into the program. So our courts are well kept. They respect the area, they respect tennis, and quite frankly, we've been able to raise the funds that we needed to provide them what they need. And like I said, I believe they need more than just a tennis racket and a ball. I've been blessed to be able to convince people to give us the help to do that. And I think it's one of the reasons we're able to compete.
Now, how long have you been in Sebastian? Has it been the whole time you've had your tennis career?
I moved to Sebastian 27, 28 years ago. And, yes, that's where most of the tennis. In Connecticut, when I was in Connecticut, I was doing volunteer work with tennis programs up there. Like I said, selfishly, I was doing it because I wanted to keep our tennis players active, and I thought the two sports went together. And up in Connecticut, the seasons were different. So when they weren't playing tennis, I felt if they were on the tennis court, the quickness, the footwork, and everything would be a great sport. And Florida, unfortunately, the season for basketball and for tennis almost runs together. They're playing basketball now, and we'll be halfway into our season before they'll be completed with basketball.
So what you have touched so many lives in a community that probably would not have had very much tennis had it not been for you. How many lives do you think you've touched? Have you brought tennis to?
Oh, how many of those lives to me is the question. I mean, I just think these people here, what you get from these kids when you go to a wedding or you go up to Yale when you watch somebody graduate, or last year when I have a girl graduating from Marion Military in Alabama because her senior year she injured her knee, and the only place I could get her a scholarship, and she finishes number one in the class and gets two more years to the University of Alabama academically. I mean, those are rewards you can't measure. Coaches get too much credit. I think back, I don't know, about 10 years ago, and my wife and I were in Daytona Beach at a national tournament, and about 7 miles away we had about six kids into another tournament, which were more for beginners. And we're running back and forth looking at them because I had a girl that was pretty outstanding. And while standing there, this gentleman says to me, "Wow, she must have an outstanding coach." I said, "Yeah, he's pretty good." And later on, he sits there and he says, "My wife and I'm getting ready to go because we have to go south." And she says, "Boy, he asked me, do you know who that coach is?" And she said, "Yeah, it's my husband that you were talking to." He said, "Well, she's outstanding." And he came up to me, "Why did you say that?" I said, "Because I have six kids down the road, and I teach them the exact things that I teach Katrina. The difference is she applied all this stuff. I don't teach some people some things and other people something else. Hey. So who deserves the credit, me or the athlete?" Mm-hmm. The athlete.
Wow. You're such a humble person, and you need to write a book. You know that. You need to write a coaching book. And I wish you could be part of the USTA, because you would be, up where you could make some actual changes and not, you know, just suggest them, because I think we'd have a whole different sport in our country. I think tennis would be a whole different game. We all have so much to learn from you, those of us who are, you know, in it for a profession and want to spread the game. We've got just a few minutes left here, about 7 minutes. I want to ask you a few fun questions. Coach, what's your favorite all-time racket?
You know what? It's now the Wilson racket. Because they're sponsoring, they're one of the sponsors for the Florida High School tennis coaches, and they will be providing a racket in a couple of weeks for our workshop. So they've got to be my favorite racket now.
I love it. Great answer. Do you have a favorite all-time tournament that you enjoy watching?
Well, I think because the U.S. Open, not just because it's in this country, but my wife was in the finance business years ago, and when she's in Connecticut, she always got us tickets to it that they wouldn't use. So from my basketball days, we were going, and my children all went to there, and part of the PTR, we'd go to PTR night there. And, of course, seeing the USTA go from three surfaces, from the grass to the clay and then to the hard court, that has to be my favorite tournament. Although we have an outstanding tournament right in Florida in the Key Biscayne, and we consider that as the fifth Grand Slam.
love it. How about favorite all-time player, dead or alive? If you received a phone call and you had the opportunity to choose anyone you wanted for a doubles partner, who would you choose?
Althea Gibson.
And why is that?
Just think, I love Arthur Ashe. I, I love him so much, but like I've told my kids for years, before there was a man out there doing it, there was a woman doing it. And I think what she did, and when you think back in the days if it was raining in England, or not just pick on them, even in our country, you know, the women got postponed or delayed so the men could play. You didn't know them. What she did, becoming the first black woman to win there, and then to sit there and leave tennis to go and compete in golf in the prime of her career, and then her, you know, becoming a jazz magician, being I love jazz, probably doesn't hurt anybody. I just think she was a special lady. I love Billie Jean King. I mean, there's just so many great players. I loved watching Jimmy Connors. I think, you know, what he did was phenomenal. I think I enjoyed life too much, huh?
Say that last part again.
I said, I think maybe I just enjoy life and tennis too much.
I think you do. I think you do. And you're spreading that enjoyment around, and that's a great thing. We've got just a few minutes left, Coach, so I want you to tell everyone how they can get in touch with you.
Well, if you go to the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, that's www.fhstca.org, you can see everything we're doing with the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, and my email address is on there, my telephone number is there. I try to be active, and I do return all phone calls and all emails. And I'm even, with the help of some people, trying to get into the 21st century. I'm a little slow doing it, but we now have the FHSTCA on Facebook, and we're on Twitter. And hopefully before the next thing comes in, I'll learn how to use it all.
All right. Well, very good. I can't believe our time is up, but it is. Thank you again so much for taking the time away from your family, and I thank them for letting me speak with you for this last hour. I think we go on another hour. I hope that you will come back.
I'd be glad to come back. I'd like to thank you. I think what you're doing for tennis is so important, and I think, as I expressed in emails yesterday, I really think this is the direction we're going. And I will give you a call after, because I've got some ideas, and I think what you do is so excellent that you might be another salvation for us.
Oh, awesome. Well, I would love to hear your feedback then and speak with you on that. So thanks again for joining us. I wish you a happy new year and enjoy your family.
Thank you, and happy new year to you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, and that was Coach John Denise out of Florida, and he spoke of many organizations that he is involved with. You can get in touch with him by visiting www.fhstca.org. If you have any questions on today's show or need any more information, you can contact me at info@thetennisauthority.com. Again, that's info@thetennisauthority.com. Don't forget to friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetennisauthority.com. Thank you to our caller today and all of our listeners. Next week, we have a fantastic guest with Mark Weinstein of Ultimate Tennis Art. He's got some incredible things. If you want to check out his site before the show, I recommend you doing that. And you can find his stuff at www.ultimatetennisart.com. Really cool stuff. Some cool stuff I'd never seen before until I came in contact with him. I hope you guys all have a happy new year. Don't drink and drive. Have a good time. Designate a driver, please, and enjoy your time. And we will talk to you next year. Bye-bye.
Opinions stated by various contributors to UR10's radio and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR10's network. Visitors are urged to use their own discernment to draw their own conclusions. All information, products, services, and use of this website is for personal use only. UR10's radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained within the website. Any services or products provided by UR10's radio and its hosts or contributors should be used solely for entertainment and enjoyment. We emphasize the importance of keeping an open mind and not construing the data, products, and/or services as factual.